I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
Yo, yo,
take a counsel.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
I do the vertebrae.
Yo, yo,
I need some suction.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
In the garage.
Yo, yo,
I bring the crash car.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
I do the kung fu.
It's weird medicine. Or in Romanian, Medicina Ciudata. I'm Dr. Steve, sitting here drinking with my little pal, P.A. John. That's one of the benefits of recording this on a weekday night instead of Sunday afternoon. We can drink.
That's it.
Welcome to the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of radio. Tonight we celebrate the return of Jefferson the Lawyer, formerly He Who Could Not Be Named. Welcome, Jefferson.
Glad to be back.
Really proud of you when you told me that superior of yours who criticized you for being on the show could kiss your fat ass.
Yeah, so. Good. Say that lie, that way I get disbarred.
I'm just kidding. He actually never said that. It was, moving on. If you've never heard us before, this is a show for people who would normally hate listening to a medical show on the radio. We try to deal with medical problems honestly and with plain language and with no limitations regarding content. If you have a medical question, you might be embarrassed to take it to your regular medical provider. Give us a shout at drsteve202@gmail.com or visit the Weird Medicine Forum at ronfez.net or call our voicemail line at 423-343-8884. That's
423-DIE-TUTI.
Please remember, we're not your healthcare providers. Check out anything you hear from us with your regular doctor, PA, nurse practitioner, acupuncturist, or whatever. Tonight, we also have our studio audience. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I swear that never gets old.
Hello.
John has dubbed them the inpatients, while I prefer to call them oddly endearing stalkers who just show up at my house on show nights. we have Special K, who once graced the third mic seat. Mm-hmm. Who was he replacing? Oh, he was replacing your wife.
Yeah.
That was when Jill used to do third mic.
Right.
So we enjoy having Special K with us.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
That's
John,
his
Jefferson.
Yep. That's his poker name. And he's been having some rough luck today. So if you see, do you want to give out your name on PokerStars or no?
K Diddy MD. If you see me on there, stay away.
Yeah. If you stay on there, go all in no matter what. And we got Rob from Elizabethton with us, John's diabetic pal, and our friend from slightly down south. And we also have double vasectomy Todd, the man for whom one vasectomy was not enough. So glad to have you here too, Todd. We have some really cool questions tonight, including sex with a tampon, blue balls, and why some people have watery jizz.
Is that all one question?
It would be a good one. But first, we need to do some housekeeping from last week's show. As you'll recall, Eastside Dave said he wanted to punch my 5-year-old son in the head for being too rough with his daughter, Juliana. Now, remember, we had taken them out to eat at an Italian restaurant.
Right.
And Liam was just sort of patting Juliana's head. He was just absolutely enamored with this little girl because she's mm-hmm. beautiful. Dave sort of attacked him on the Ron and Fez show. And in response, Liam called him a stupid head with no sense of humor on this very show.
Right.
And, true to form, Dave took the bait. And this is part of what we heard on last week's Sam and Dave's special delivery. And by the way, Sam and Dave are airing tonight live at 9 p.m. But this is what Dave had to say about Liam. So what do you think about Uncle Dave saying
that?
Well, first we'll play Liam's part.
He is a stupid head. a stupid head.
He is? What else do you have to say to Uncle Dave?
And he does not have a sense of humor.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of people listening to the show that comes on after us that would agree with you on that.
Ooh, wow. So Liam is taking shots.
Listen to
That's
me.
That's Dr. Steve's 5-year-old son.
Listen, I don't want to have to say
that, you know, I'll assault a five-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want to
insult
wanna have,
or assault.
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 I don't want to have to drop that low, Liam.
Wow.
But you don't take shots at me, and you don't call me a stupid head.
He also said,
if there's one thing you can call me, it's Fagula.
Now, by the way, remember the things that you can call Dave. It becomes important later. Okay.
You could say that.
Alcoholic.
Right.
That fits. That's really accurate.
It's factual.
Fantasizes about his grandmother.
That's right. I remember the funeral.
He passed away, and I still.
Dave, how are we going to settle this, Dave?
You hear it here first. After I take down Chet, I'm going to fucking knock your fucking block off anywhere in New York City.
What?
A gloves-off boxing match. Eastside Dave and Liam from the Dr. Steve Show anywhere in New York City. I am taking you on.
Oh, my God.
Punk! Play get in the ring, Pepper. So this is what it has to resort to, huh, Liam? Uncle Dave comes there, and he fucking gives you some pen and paper.
By the way, I couldn't really play this for Liam.
Right.
I just had to tell him Uncle Dave was mad at.
So you can draw a little castle on the back of some placemats at that Italian restaurant we went to. That's what Uncle Dave did for you.
Dave, remember, he's just a kid. Don't get worked up, Dave.
And after that...
He just called you a stupid head.
A stupid head?
Yeah. And he said you didn't have a sense of humor.
If there's one thing you don't call Uncle Dave, Liam, it's a stupid head.
He did.
And you did. You know what we're going to do? We're going to punch you in the face.
Oh, my.
Now who's scared? Because I know I'm sleeping tonight, little boy.
Okay. Now, Jefferson.
Ooh.
Sure.
Now that we can say what you do for a living, you're an attorney and you do criminal law.
Right.
Were any laws broken in that?
Well, sure. I mean, he committed an assault. And, you know, assault doesn't mean you actually touch him. It means that you threaten to cause imminent bodily injury to someone, and they must reasonably believe he could do that. And sure, a five-year-old would definitely think he could do that to him. So, yeah, he committed an assault. And it would be an aggravated assault because Liam's under the age of 13.
And you're actually reading that from
the
Tennessee Criminal Justice Handbook.
Yeah, TCA 3913101.
There you go. So, all right, Dave.
So all I know is that it's kind of funny that he would want him to come to New York City, a five-year-old. I mean, it's just hilarious.
Oh, transporting him across state lines.
Sure.
That would be me, because I'd be bringing him.
I just wish Eastside Dave would come down here, then he could receive an ass-whipping like he's never received before. He'd be beat worse than a redheaded stepchild.
Well, what I really need to know is whether there are any laws broken in what you're about to hear, because this is Liam's response to Eastside Dave. And the music is, what is it, Todd?
Break the walls down.
Break the walls down. Just here we
now
go.
Now you listen to me, McDonald Fagler. You alcoholic. You fantasizer about your grandmother. I have no idea what that means. I'm a black belt in karate, old stinkhead. And it's nothing to me to whoop a man's ass. You redheaded goober, you're going down. I'll meet you anytime, any place, you crazy d***er. I'm gonna send you to Fifth City. My daddy's gonna beat your daddy's ass. And that fruity Sammy's sitting next to you, too. My mom d***ed the nature boy. And here I am. Woo! Dance like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm the greatest fighter of all time. Besides, you stink like a fart with your stupid red hair. Stupid head, stupid head, stupid head. Why don't you go smell your own farts? Jersey boy. Also made out of poop. I thought that up by myself.
That's Liam's response to Eastside Dave.
Good.
So there you go, Dave. The war continues. Enjoy, my friend.
The Dr. Steve posse, in effect.
I would love to do a Friday night fights in New York and bring Liam and have him Dave
get it on
and stage it so that Liam is actually the bad guy. Every time the ref turns his back, Liam would do something illegal, like throw powder in his face or hit him with a chair. I think it'd be hilarious. So we'll see if we can work that one out. All right. Well, moving on. We have a new schedule. If you're listening to us now, you are listening to us at 6 p.m. on Saturday because we're replacing Sam and Dave. While they are off during the regular slot to be on live tonight. At 9 o'clock. So be sure to listen to them.
Yeah.
And from now we're going to skip a week, and then we will be on at 5 o'clock every other Saturday. So we're on twice as often, but we're on a little earlier. So, and that's where we are for right now.
Right.
Who knows where we'll be a month from now, but that's the plan.
We're happy where we are.
And if you have, I will post the schedule on drsteve.com, and you can check us out there. And also we have all of our old shows archived on drsteve.com, and you can listen to them streaming. So you're listening to Weird Medicine. If you have a question for us, email us at drsteve.com or drsteve202@gmail.com or call our voicemail line at 423-343-8884. Now, let's talk about the Ass Crack Challenge.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's see. Rob, you were going to do Nair. Is that right? Was that you?
No, that was me.
Come on. Get on mic.
That was me.
Oh, you were going to do Nair.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you do it? Well, see, we're on a week early, so you're forgiven if you didn't do it.
Well, here's the thing. Right after the show last week, I talked to my sister, and she said, "You got to be crazy if you're going to nair your butt."
Yeah.
I was thinking, wow, that's a big deal. She said she's seen used nair, and it just leaves the skin absolutely raw sometimes.
Yeah.
I want to say that I have looked at it. It may cause irritation to the skin and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So
let's not use nair.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I was thinking, you know, I shave my stomach occasionally for my sight change because I have a little bit of hair on my abdomen.
Tell them what the hell you mean by that.
Well, for my diabetes, I wear an insulin pump and I change the sight. So I started shaving a little area, and before I knew it, I'd shaved my entire stomach and my chest.
Oh, he's showing us. it's grotesque. No, Rob is showing us his. Yours isn't bad, dude. That is just bizarre.
Yeah.
Looks like a big flabby baby.
Is that a third nipple?
No.
That's
an easy so I was thinking, I'll see what happens with this.
Okay.
See how that goes. But the interesting thing is I used to always have a little collection of belly button fuzz every single morning before I would get in the shower. And now, since I've shaved the hair on my stomach, belly button fuzz gone. Thinking belly button fuzz, dingleberry, pretty much the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, except one has fecal matter in it.
How do you know where my feces goes?
Well, anyway, so you're not going to do anything. How about a double vasectomy, Todd?
No, I can...
Got to get closer, dude. Yep, there you go.
I can report that there is 100% success with shaving your ass crack.
Really?
You'll have absolutely nothing. It's very easy to wipe off. No problem there. The problem is, once you shave your ass crack, you will continue to shave your ass crack.
Because of the stubble.
Because the stubble is unbearable.
Okay.
Absolutely unbearable.
Okay.
So that's the answer there. But if you want to commit to it, commit to it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do the waxing this before the next show. And I'm going to have Tacy record it. And we'll at least have audio, if not video. So I'm really not looking forward to this. But that's what I read. I've read up on it since last time. And
Nair.
And don't do the Nair. That's just, we're not recommending that. I think it's lye or something. I mean, it's bad stuff. Maybe it's okay on the tough part of your legs, but not on your ass.
Yeah. And you know, that's the last thing I want to do is end up in the emergency room with people that I know. I'd have to drive way far out of state.
And then,
you'd
have to say you sat on it.
Well, I was at the grocery store, and there was a spill in aisle 4, and it just happened to be Nair. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so shaving, works for the feces cleaning up problem, but stubble is crazy. Now, what I've heard about waxing is that the hair comes back in a finer form than it was before, so I'm hoping the stubble won't be too bad. So if it is, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to jam gauze between my ass cheeks. So.
With a little cocoa butter?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about our friends. A little update on Big A and Pat from Funaki. Our friends Big A, or our friend Big A, has bad sleep apnea syndrome. He has insurance, but doesn't pay for much. We were able to get him a sleep study, and he said it was okay to talk about it. It was positive, so we're going to really, I think, succeed in making him feel better. We're still trying to find him a local doctor. He went to this one guy that said that they took his insurance, and then after they did everything, they told him that he didn't take his insurance, so he's stuck for that bill. We really appreciate John Gray and Dr. Liederich from Sleep Care at Meadowlands Hospital for arranging and comping the sleep study. And John Gray is the guy I've been working with to kind of organize this stuff, and he actually wrote to me originally and said, if you want to do a sleep study on Big A, I can arrange it. So John's band is, everybody's in the business, is A Case of the Mondays, and they have a new album, and it's called Look at How Awesome We Are, and they are awesome. So it's available from caseofthemondays.net, cdbaby.com, or digstation.com. And download at least one song for him being so awesome. And this isn't plugola. He just was really cool about getting all this stuff going.
That is pretty awesome.
Now, let's talk about Pat. He hasn't had his diabetes meds in over a year, and we're trying to get him some medication. One of them we found you can get for $4 at Walmart. But he needs some blood work and some other things. And so we are starting a fund at PayPal, which we mentioned last time. Some people have already contributed to it, but I hadn't had it set up yet. But that's okay. It still works. They'll hold the money in abeyance until we can get it. And it's taking longer because it's a business account that I'm setting up. You can send that by PayPal to drsteve202@gmail.com. And I'm hoping that by the time this is on the air this Saturday, I will have a link on drsteve.com for donating to this cause. And the way it'll work is they'll just send me a bill, and I'll disperse as much money as we can out of the fund.
Right.
And it'll help defray some of the costs that they're going to be dealing with. Obviously, we can't do it forever. I'm more and more believing that we need some kind of universal health care in this country, because this is just such a common problem. And these are just two of our friends. You know?
Right.
Special K, what are you thinking about universal health care these days? I know you're doing a lot of free care.
I'm with my brother Obama on this one. I see too many people who come in and don't have diabetes medications, or you know, young moms who can't afford insulin to pay for diapers, and they come in diabetic shock. And you've seen it, Steve. We see it.
I see a lot of cancer patients that lose their jobs because they've got cancer and they can't get insurance. There's no help for them at all, and they can't afford their chemo. We can get their chemo for them, but they can't afford their pain medicine. That's the saddest thing, is people who are in pain, real live patients that have excruciating pain, and they're going without so that they can try to scrape up enough money to buy their pain medication.
There's a lot of people losing their jobs now and losing insurance with it, and it's really hard for the regular people to get good health care, and hopefully someone will do something about it.
Yeah. I know a Canadian system is going to be hard to implement in this country, but we've got to do – there needs to be more help out there for people. There's no question about it.
We'll all make less money, though.
Well, I don't know, dude. We're giving away so much free care right now that if you just paid me less for everybody I saw, I think I would actually end up doing a little better. So I'm in favor of it for that reason. just purely from selfish reasons, I think it would be better. And it'd be a lot less stress on everybody, that's for sure.
How about natural selection?
Yeah, I don't think it applies in this situation.
Let the weed be weak, like the weak be weeded out.
Yeah, but of course you have insurance, so you would say that.
Yes, good point. I'll give it to you.
All right. Listen, Don Imus. Let's talk about him. I don't like talking about celebrities and their medical problems, but Don is sort of the grandfather of us all, and he's a friend of this channel, and he announced recently that he had stage 2 prostate cancer. And this is one of those situations where some good can be done. He made the announcement on Monday, and on his Imus in the Morning show, and he said he was surprised because he follows an organic diet and has no history of cancer in his family. And, you know, that just doesn't have anything to do with anything in this case. Following an organic diet keeps you from getting maybe some things. And exercising a lot and eating a low-fat diet doesn't keep you from getting prostate cancer. It might keep you from getting heart disease, which allows you to live long enough to get prostate cancer. Because if you live long enough and you're a man, it is very likely that you'll get prostate cancer.
Isn't it 2 out of 3 men?
Well, I know there was a cadaver study that they did where they took a bunch of guys that died from diseases other than prostate cancer. Let's say they had pneumonia or had heart attack and they were over 75. And a significant percentage of them, and I don't remember the exact number, but I'm thinking it was over 50%, had prostate cancer cells in their prostate. And a lot of it was stage 1, but it was there. So it is a common ailment in older men, and the older you get, the more likely it is that it's going to happen to you. So the thing that I loved was this guy, Glenn Beck, you know him, he's on Fox News now.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the show, and he offered to send Imus a book on cancer, and Imus snapped back, "What I want is for people to leave me alone, don't send me any books, and don't give me any advice." Good for him.
Sure.
Glenn Beck. Anyway, there's a lot of stages of emotional development when you get told that you have cancer, and I guess Don has moved from disbelief to anger, so, you know, the anger
right.
phase. Let's talk a little bit about prostate cancer. The prostate is a part of a man's reproductive system, and it's an organ that's located in front of the rectum and under the bladder. So this is what they're feeling for when they stick when doctors stick their finger in your rear end, this is what they're feeling for, is this sort of rubbery walnut thing in the back part of your rectum or the front part of your rectum. Healthy prostate is about the size of a walnut, and if it grows too large, it squeezes the urethra because the tube coming from the bladder to the penis goes right through the prostate. So as the prostate enlarges, it squeezes the tube and makes it harder to get pee out. It's generally occurs in older men. There's 186,000 new cases of prostate cancer in the United States, and there's 28,000 deaths per year, so it's about 15%, okay? And whichever one of you guys is breathing into your microphone, I'm going to come over there and slap you, so cut it out. There's 4 stages of prostate cancer, and stage 2 simply means it's big enough to feel but still confined to the prostate. And there are people out there that didn't notice that before, and now they're just going to be listening for it. So I'm just telling you. Maybe it was me.
It could have been.
It's impossible to know Imus's prognosis without knowing his Gleason score, and that is just a score of how deranged the cells are. But stage 2 disease is generally very treatable. Treatable with surgery, radiation therapy. Some people will even watch and wait, you know, just do nothing for it. You can do hormone therapy to block testosterone because the male hormone testosterone is to prostate cancer like kerosene is to a fire. And so when you take away testosterone from the male body, you can reduce the rate that this prostate cancer grows. I guess testosterone is kind of like fertilizer for the prostate cancer. Does that make sense?
I'm thinking because you're on testosterone right now, supplementation,
So
now, all of a sudden, if you have a prostate cancer, like you were just saying,
I'd have
the cadavers.
Come off of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the thing is that I'm taking testosterone now to bring my testosterone level back to normal because it was low. So
right. It's
not really increasing my risk. My risk was decreased when I had the low testosterone level. So
right.
I'm back to normal risk right now.
Okay.
So, you know, I've still got to, you know, and how do you find out if you have it or not? Get your prostate checked. That's why we do these prostate exams on Opie and Anthony. It seems like a big goof, but we're just trying to make it a little more entertaining or fun or whatever, however you want to take it, to just show that it's just a normal part of having an exam. Yeah. It's no big deal. I mean, if right. these guys can do it on the air, you can do it in your doctor's office.
Right.
And the other thing is you can get a PSA or prostatic specific antigen blood test. It's just a blood test that shows under certain circumstances if the prostate's enlarging, and it can be elevated just from enlarged, you know, benign enlargement of the prostate, but it can be elevated in prostate cancer as well. So stage 1 to 2 disease with a low Gleason score shows a really excellent 10-year survival. It's almost everybody survived. So we really hope Don, you know, we wish Don Imus well and with his treatment, whatever he decides to do. And, you know, we'll just kind of keep an eye on him. All right. All right. Well, let's see. We've got some questions. We're halfway into the show. We haven't done a medical question yet. So
no.
Why don't you read one there, right. P.A. John?
Let's go for it. Hi, Dr. Steve.
Hello,
John. Hope you are well. I have a typical XM202 shit-related question.
Good for you.
Since I've quit smoking cigarettes, I've noticed that I have more difficulty in the morning with my bowel movements. It's not like I'm constipated. It just doesn't come as easy as it did before. I'm taking Citracel and eating tons of fiber, but it seems like my body would rather spread this out during the entire day rather than just having one nice steaming dump in the morning. I can deal with the inconvenience, but I know that when I was smoking, I could have my first smoke in the morning, and then when it was, then it was a mad dash to the bathroom to evacuate. I just wanted to know if this is typical of no longer smoking. Daniel from Alabama.
All right, Daniel. Well, number one, congratulations for quitting smoking.
Yay!
Well done. Good job. Smoking's the number one preventable cause of death in the U.S., and he doesn't say how he quit. But 440,000 people die each year from tobacco-related causes, and that's 1 in 5 deaths in the United States are tobacco-related. Causes heart disease, oral cancer, throat cancer, lung cancer, all kinds of stuff. And there's lots of ways to quit. I mean, we've talked about it on the show before, so we won't belabor it. You know, there's cold turkey, just putting it down. 5% of people, if they're told by their doctor to quit smoking, will just put the cigarettes down that day. You can taper. You can use the nicotine patches. There are some pills out there. I've had good luck with Chantix. It is a nicotine, or it affects the nicotine receptor, and it stimulates the receptor so there's no withdrawal, but it also blocks nicotine from attacking the receptors, so you get no benefit from smoking. So basically it turns off the whole nicotine addiction. It has lots of side effects, but it's very effective. You know, 22 to 42% of people who use Chantix quit. If you're interested in it, don't listen to us because we're just idiots on the radio. Talk to your healthcare provider about it. There's also Zyban, which is what I use to quit smoking. That's Wellbutrin. It's an antidepressant that blocks the addiction center in the brain, and I found it very effective. It's generic now and inexpensive. Also has some side effects, especially if you're a binge drinker, can induce seizures. So, you know, go easy on the drinking if you're going to be taking Zyban. But what he's talking about is since he quit smoking, he's having trouble with defecation. And tobacco is reported to be a cathartic. In other words, there are some people that will smoke in the morning so that they can get their morning duty going.
Mm-hmm.
And coffee and cigarettes usually leads to a big old steaming dump. So,
right.
So it makes sense that if you withdraw that stimulus, that you may have some changes in your bowel habits.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah. I used to dip and dipped for years. And when I stopped, I ended up having a constipation too.
Or really?
It would kind of come out, you know, little bitty thing here and there. And so then I substituted coffee as the addictive habit. And
yeah.
That usually helps stimulate a bowel movement. So.
Okay.
I did that, and now to this day, I take a cup of coffee into the bathroom with me.
Really?
No matter where I am, even if I'm out.
That sounds unhygienic.
I usually scoop it up, and it's nice chocolate flavored.
Whatever, dude. You're
no.
part. You're part of the problem. I looked up a bunch of studies that showed only 4% of people have constipation when quitting smoking. You know.
Well, that was
but,
me.
Yeah. More often people have weight gain, and he may be just changing his diet because he's eating more, too. You did find, P.A. John actually did some show prep, and I was very proud of you. You sent me an article from Addiction Journal about stopping smoking, and it said that clinicians treating smokers need to be aware of the possibility of 1 in 6 quitters develop constipation. So this was they had a different, what would 1 in 6 be percentage?
It'd be a lot.
No, is it 15%? What is it? Yeah. See, and now we sound stupid. I should just get my calculator out and do it. But but anyway, 1 in 6 quitters develop constipation, and for about 1 in 11, the problem can be severe. So there you go. So yeah, he's not crazy. But congratulations for quitting smoking.
Yeah. Good job.
There's other things he can do. He could take a little Miralax, which you can buy over the counter. That's a non-addictive laxative. He can just wait it out. But don't start smoking again just because you got a little problem with your bowel movements.
Take a cup of Joe so your colon will blow.
There you go. Wow. That's awesome, dude. All right. We've got some questions. You're listening to Weird Medicine on XM 202, Sirius 197. We've had some voicemail questions to our 423-343-8884. That's 423-DIE-2D line. And here's one about infected toenails.
Yeah, I have a ingrown toenail that's been infected for about 5 years. I'm afraid to get it taken care of. Just wanted to know what the ramifications would be to continue to let that infection fester.
Okay. So what he has is an ingrown toenail. That is a toenail that has become a foreign body, basically. And you put yourself at risk for ingrown toenails when you clip your toes back too far and you round off the edges. You know, they need to be straight and the edge needs to come out beyond the nail bed.
Right.
And because if you cut them back too far, then what happens is that nail moves forward as it grows, then it can get caught in that little fold of skin, and then it just starts digging in and just millimeter by millimeter just becoming more and more of a problem until you've just got this big mass of pus and granuloma tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a real issue. Now, he's had it for 5 years, and I know he's hurting.
Yeah.
And he said he's afraid to get it taken care of. That's because the idea of having your toenail ripped off is just barbaric.
Right.
Now, you can sometimes treat these non-surgically, and so I'm going to give him just an idea of what he can do. Number one, he needs to get it taken care of because this can turn into, later on, if he becomes diabetic, he isn't going to heal well. He could get a big-time infection and even lose
his leg.
It could happen.
Or his life.
The other thing is that it's not impossible that he could get tetanus from it. I have never seen it, but it's theoretically possible. And just the pain that he's going to have over time he doesn't have to live with that. So here's one trick that you can do. You can do the cotton pledget technique, and this is where you take little balls of cotton and you jam them under the toe. And what you're trying to do is to lift that toenail gradually up and out so that it is no longer under the nail bed, and then it will grow out normally. And then when it gets out to the end of the toe, you just cut it off straight, and then you don't have any problem anymore.
Now, one of the things is I've actually done this technique, and as opposed to a ball, pulling off a little piece of cotton and rolling it thin, and then pack that down under the edge of the skin tissue, and then try and wrap it around the front of the toe and then pack it back up underneath the toenail.
Okay.
So
it's kind of hard to explain. And really, if he just went to a podiatrist or a family doc that's familiar with this technique, that he could say, I want to try this non-surgically. They could show him how to do it. It's something you can do on your own at home.
I also put antibiotic ointment on it before I tucked it down in there, which will help with the infection. You can get that over the counter.
Sure. The other thing is just soaking your toes and doing that before you do the cotton pledget technique just to soften up the toenail. And wear comfortable shoes. One of the risk factors for this is shoes that are too tight. So women will get these a lot for wearing shoes that compress their toes.
And you can use Epsom salt in the soaks.
Yeah, and I know that's been traditional. I wonder if it really does anything.
Yeah, the sodium, I think, draws out the pus.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's.
I'm pretty sure. What do you know? You know anything about it?
I defer to John on this one. You're the one that works with the legs
and
the bones.
Yeah.
And the...
Well, yeah. I want to say that the sodium max has a. It will pull. you know, the sodium potassium pump and all that, where how it one goes from one side and the other goes to the other.
Yeah.
Well, salt will draw out moisture.
Okay.
And so it will draw.
It'll dry out moisture while you're soaking your foot in a thing of water.
Dude, you ever been into?
I don't know.
What about hydrogen peroxide or something like that?
You know, peroxide fizzes up and makes you feel like it's doing something, and it may kill a few bacteria, but a lot of the surgeons say it just damages tissue more than do anything else, so they don't really use it anymore.
Initial injuries, peroxide is okay for, but once you have poured it on there for the first time right after the accident, never use it again.
Okay, fair enough. Let's talk a little bit about the surgery, because it's really is not that bad. They do everyone these days does a thing called a digital block, which is a little tiny needle that goes into the toe at the base of the toe. So you're not sticking it into this mass of pus, which you can imagine would just be like Joseph Mengele torture. But and when they do this, it hurts a little bit, but it's not bad, and it'll numb the whole toe up.
He says a little bit. I say it hurts.
Really?
I don't lie.
Yeah, no.
I think it hurts. I've had it done like four times.
Well, dude, I never had anybody complain much when I did it. Seriously, but I used a...
You think it hurts?
Did I do it on you?
Double vasectomy Todd saying yeah.
Did I do it on you? I can't remember.
You didn't do it on me, but I've had other doctors do it, and maybe your technique is superior to their technique, but it hurt like a bastard.
Yeah, I want to say it, but it's a pressure type of pain more so than anything else.
Right.
And then, but that only lasts for maybe a count of 10, and it's something like, oh my gosh. And then it's like the toe is numb and you could.
And the rest of it's a piece of cake.
Exactly. And then once the numbing goes out, there was no pain. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
And what they'll do is they'll take scissors or a nail splitter, which looks kind of like a rail splitter, and we'll split the nail and then remove the part that's jammed into the tissue. And when you do that, you can do one of two things. You can either destroy the nail bed under it so that it doesn't grow back, or you can leave it alone and hope that the nail will grow back normally. I've had, I'd say about 25 to 30% of people, maybe more, will end up with another ingrown toenail if you don't destroy the nail bed. So.
And when it grows back abnormally, that's what we call camel toe.
It's... He was so excited to deliver that line. Jesus. All right, we got another question. Let's see. I think this is good old GVAC's got a question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. GVAC here. What is the basic difference between Sugar Busters and the Atkins diet? Dr. Steve, I've heard you mention Sugar Busters a few times as a diet you really believe in, and I think you even said it's one you follow yourself. I've heard some knocks against Atkins not being healthy. I know I was on it several years ago, lost a lot of weight, but I did have a gallbladder go really bad. I don't know if that was because of the high fat content or maybe just coincidence. But I'm wondering if Sugar Busters is any healthier in your view. Does it differ in any way? And if you can just elaborate on that. Thanks a lot, and keep up the good work.
Okay, see, I had to get the keep up the good work part in there. Sugar Busters. First off, he talked about losing a lot of weight and he had a gallbladder explode. Gallbladder stones can come from rapid weight loss. It probably wasn't from the Atkins diet itself, but rather from him depriving his body of calories. And then what happens is the gallbladder just sits there. It's supposed to contract when you eat fatty meals to help you digest and absorb fat. But when you have a calorie-restricted diet, it'll just sit there and it won't move. And so you get sludge and then you get gallstones. Atkins is a low-carbohydrate diet, so very low in breads and pastas and starchy vegetables. The true Atkins diet uses a lot of green leafy vegetables and with some animal protein thrown in. But where the myth that it's an all-meat diet came in is when people started saying, well, you don't have to count the number of calories that you take in from meat. So if you don't have to count it, well, by God, you can have all you want. And it became the redneck meat diet. And, you know, where someone's cousin...
Meat.
Someone's cousin told their other cousin who told their friend about this diet, and the next thing you know, these people are doing nothing but eating meat and pork rinds.
Potted meat. Vienna sausages.
Vienna wieners.
Pork chops.
It can be followed for life, but it's hard, and it requires vigilance. It's hard because we have so many quick calories available to us in carbohydrates. You know, if you think about how we were, say, 400 years ago, right where we are right now, we wouldn't have had hardly any, if we were living off the land, hardly had any carbohydrates at all.
Right.
You know, especially before agriculture. You would have had animal protein and maybe some green leafy vegetables and then some berries and stuff in the fall. And that's about it.
Roughage.
So we were basically designed, I think, if we were going to be in harmony with our environment, to eat a low-carb diet. And that's why, because of our high-carb, low-residue American crap diet, where we're eating robot death bread, you know, Wonder Bread all the time, and French fries as a vegetable, that we're getting fat as
a country.
Yeah,
but wasn't, like, the male life expectancy back then, like, only 47?
Yeah, but I know, and that is the argument, but it really, what I think, and I think what most people who have looked at that think, is that it wasn't that so much as it was sanitation, you know, that we've got, we have hygiene now, which we didn't have back then, and so we're not dying of these crazy things like cholera and diphtheria and, you know, wasting diseases like, you know, chronic diarrhea and stuff like that. So, I don't know. You know, people's life expectancy started to go up when cities started having, getting rid of the open sewers and having closed sewers and having clean water supply. So, but it's an interesting point. Now, Sugar Busters is kind of the voice of moderation. It's not low carb, but it's low in what we call glycemic index, meaning that the carbohydrates in it are more complex, and they keep your insulin levels from peaking too fast. Now, remember from talking before, carbs, when you take them in, cause your insulin to shoot up, which, well, many times will make your blood sugar low, which will cause desensitizing of the body to the signal of insulin, which will result in diabetes, type 2 diabetes. These people have high sugar levels and high insulin levels. That will lead to heart disease and kidney disease. Carbs drive calories into the cells and resulting in increased fat production, too. So Sugar Busters is a whole lot easier to follow because you can eat bread and you can eat pasta and you can eat carbohydrates. And but they are, you know, whole wheat varieties or dense whole wheat varieties. And you can check out their awful, perfectly awful website at www.sugarbusters.com. So, all right, so that's the difference between the two. And I've just found that Sugar Busters is a really easy diet to follow over time. And, you know, our kids never eat white bread, you know, unless they go to McDonald's.
I eat the whole wheat white.
There you, yeah. Yeah, and that is such a... how can that be?
It's good. It's
whole
soft.
Wheat, white
it's
bread.
Delicious. I like to put some meat on it and eat it.
Well, go ahead.
All right, next question. Hey, my pal, Dr. Steve. I never really noticed, but until recently when my significant other only said to me that I have very watery semen. I've always had it as far as I know. I'm 21 years old, so I don't know if that rules out any prostate problems. Any help would be awesome.
Okay, well,
posted by Justin.
Cool. Hello, Justin. The seminal vesicles are a pair of real simple tubular glands that are right next to the urinary bladder of males, and they go, they empty out into the prostate. And about 60% of the seminal fluid in humans comes from the seminal vesicles, but it's not expelled in the first part of the ejaculation. That is dominated by spermatozoa, you know, sperm cells, and zinc-rich prostate fluid. Now, this is kind of interesting that the sperm that are expelled together with seminal fluid have poor motility. In other words, they don't move very well. And so they're thinking that it's a holdover from the days when people would have multiple sex partners, and it probably wasn't people. These were probably shrews and mice and stuff. But this is shown in mice populations where they'll have multiple sexual partners, and the mouse will ejaculate at the very end a plug of material that is spermicidal. In other words, it'll kill sperm. So if another mouse comes behind and screws the woman mouse that he just screwed, that guy's sperm will just die.
I think everybody in here had a comment about that.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to lean towards a mic on that one.
It's the cock block.
So, but everyone's semen has different amounts of this stuff called semenogelin or semenogelin. It's a substance that makes semen thick and eventually gels. And you know, P.A. John knows this very well from the pages of his magazines that he reads in the bathroom. But your prostate has to mix the 1-2% of sperm with the 67% of seminal fluid with 33% of prostatic fluid, kind of like a gooey milkshake. And if the proportions are off, you will make a lot of pre-cum, which is watery. Or if he has some prostatic congestion, he might make a more watery recipe. So, and he just may naturally just make more watery semen than other people. And that's, he just has less amounts of this gelling substance. So it's, I don't think that's a big deal. It's rarely he could have a blockage of the seminal vesicles and just be producing prostatic fluid. But, yeah. You know, his urologist could look into that if it's really a problem for him. But that should cause pain with ejaculation.
If it's a lot of it, maybe you could think of a life in porn.
Yeah, there you go.
Just pouring out gallons of fluid.
Whatever.
Yes, hi, Dr. Steve. This is Shannon from South Florida. My boyfriend and I just had sex, and I'm thinking I may have had a tampon in place. And I asked him if he felt anything. He said no. So my question is, if there was a tampon in there, wouldn't he be able to feel it? And if there was a tampon in there, where did it go, and how do I get it out? And how do I even find out that there is one in there?
Wow. This one is messed up on so many levels. Yeah. Shannon from Shannon.
How big is she or how small is him?
Well, and the it's an excellent question. I'm not a woman, so I don't know about these things, but how would you not know that?
I want to know how much alcohol was involved because I've been there.
Yeah, that has to be it. It has to be alcohol, really.
I've been there.
There are a lot of women out there who will have men actually force a tampon into their vagina during intercourse that to prevent bleeding due to menstruation. So, you know, if you don't like ketchup on your French fries, if you know what I mean, they'll sometimes, you know, leave the tampon in and have sex with it. But then the problem is if you forget about it. And then the next morning you get up and you put another tampon in and you've left the one that's way up in there. You can forget about it until the smell becomes an issue.
Right.
Or toxic shock syndrome sets in, you know, which is a rare but potentially fatal complication of staph and the staphylococcal aureus in the vagina.
Right.
So to remove it, this is what she needs to do, is stand next to a chair and put one leg on the seat and one on the floor. And this is the classic putting in the diaphragm pose. And then reach inside with your fingers, and she should be able to grasp it because it's not that far in there.
No.
It's rubbery and elastic, but it's, you know, the vagina is not that deep, at least generally. She might be able to float it out in a tub. Or, you know, better yet, have the partner who shoved it in there in the first place take it out. I mean, you know, sex is a partnership. Don't be embarrassed.
He's going to be that kind of man.
You know, yeah, I know. I lost do you remember those Magnum condoms? They were called Magnum, but they weren't like Magnum. It was just their brand name, and that was like, yes, I have used Magnum condoms. But they had a thick rubber applicator in there, rolled up. So the whole thing was rolled up with this thick rubber applicator, and then you'd put it on the end of your cock and just sort of tap it, and it would unroll onto your cock, right?
Magically.
Yeah, it was kind of magically. It was cool.
Bring.
But you didn't know all of this unless you read the instructions that came with it. And if it, the first time you used it was in the middle of the night and in the dark, you didn't necessarily know that there was a hard rubber applicator on this thing. And so you could lose it. And then let's just say the next morning, you get the instructions out and go, oh, there's instructions with these condoms, and then realize that you've left this applicator inside your girlfriend, then it's a problem. And I'm just saying, hypothetically, if then you have to get her over there to the house and do a pelvic exam and try to get the thing out of there. Yeah. So
my advice would be try and find it yourself. Just go looking for it. And, yeah, That's it. If it's if it's not there, then try and float it out in the tub.
Well, if here's the thing is if you can't find it, it's got to come out. So you got to go to your health care provider and try and get them to take it out. And it's just like a pelvic exam. It's really easy to do.
Yeah.
And for God's sakes, next time use some scotch tape and tape the string to your leg.
Not, you know, it, maybe not the worst idea.
Probably not the best one either.
It sounds impractical, but holy moly. So anyway, well, this hour has vanished like a tampon into the black hole that is Shannon from South Florida's nether region. So don't miss our show in 2 weeks at 5 p.m. Eastern right here on the Saturday Night Virus, and we'll have the results of the Ass Crack Challenge, a discussion on the perversion called frottage, and we'll blow the lid off peanut allergy controversy. We want to do a special shout-out to Jeremy, Seth, Rob, and Tom. I'm sure we would love to get the band back together. Can't we all just get along? A little in joke. A little too inside the room. Thanks to Jefferson the Lawyer, Double Vasectomy Todd, or DVT as we know him, Rob from Elizabethton, Special K, and everyone who listens to the show. And don't forget to visit drsteve.com. And if you can afford it, leave a little gift for Big A and Pat from Munaki's medical bills. And by the way, they did not ask for this help, and I'm probably embarrassing them by doing this. Thanks, O&A, Ron and Fez, for the plugage. You are the best. And thanks to Sam and Dave for starting our first radio war. And don't forget to go to www.caseofthemondays.net and check out their new CD. For P.A. John and me, check your stupid numps for lumps. Quit smoking and get off your asses and get some exercise. We'll see you in another month for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
And because comfortably numb.